Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and physical therapy pearls of wisdom to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is really to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in.
Before we hop into this interview, I want to talk about something Jen and I have been adding in that we have absolutely loved. It's one of our new podcast sponsors, Manicora Honey. And whether you add it to your tea, your coffee, add it to my favorite peanut butter and honey toast or tortilla roll-ups, or just use it as a replacement for other honey or added sugars that you generally have in your diet, it's absolutely amazing because Manicora Honey is rich, creamy, and the most delicious honey you have ever had. It's ethically produced by Manicora's master beekeepers in the remote forests of New Zealand, and the bees gather nectar from the manuka tree, which is packed with bioactives that help give this honey three times more antioxidants and prebiotics than regular honey. These help support your cells and your gut, which is where most of your immune system actually lives. It's an absolute game changer, and all you need is one heaped teaspoon each morning to get the most out of these amazing bioactives. Now it's easier than ever to try Manicora Honey. Head to manicora.com/docjen to save up to 31% plus $25 worth of free gifts with the starter kit, which comes with an MGO 850 plus Manuka honey jar, 5 honey travel sticks, a wooden spoon, and a guidebook. That MGO number is just referring to those amazing bioactives that are in the honey. That's manicora.com/docjen to save 31% plus $25 worth of free gifts. Okay, let's get into the episode.
I'm so honored to welcome Gabriella Rosa to our podcast. She is a Harvard awarded scholar, fertility specialist, and founder of the Rosa Institute. The Institute pioneered integrated fertility care with highly reproducible results that are accessible worldwide. Currently completing her Doctor of Public Health at Harvard, Gabriella is internationally recognized for advancing evidence-based approaches to infertility, recurrent miscarriage, and failed treatment to deliver healthy babies. Since 2001, Gabriella and her team have supported over 200,000 individuals and couples across more than 111 countries through clinical programs, education, and research. And her proprietary fertile method is a 7-phase framework that identifies and addresses the root causes of reproductive challenges. She's a 5-time author, including Fertility Breakthrough, Overcoming Infertility and Recurrent Miscarriage When Other Treatments Have Failed. She's also the host of Talk Sex with Gabriella Rosa podcast, where she explores the intersections of intimacy, health, and fertility. Grounded in science and guided by compassion, Gabriella helps couples reclaim agency in their fertility journey, leaving nothing to chance and no stone unturned. Her mission is to turn uncertainty into clarity and despair into effective, actionable strategy that transforms even the most complex journeys into healthy babies. So excited for you to tune into this episode. Gabriella, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us today. I know you have a lot going on as you're preparing and getting your doctorate. And there's so much noise, especially on social media, around fertility and what women can be doing, and men, and understanding this within our bodies.
I don't think there's enough information about men when it comes to fertility. So
if you could really Instagram, I think you will definitely find that there is.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. I'm very excited to have this conversation and I appreciate you being here.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's wonderful when we get to educate men on the fact that fertility is a team sport. So, you know, it's wonderful.
Absolutely. And we talked briefly about the swamp of information that is social media, and we'll touch on that more and be able to point people in the direction of the diamonds in the rough, which is where your education comes in. But just to start, can you give us a little bit of your origin story in fertility work and why this became important to you and why you chose it really as you're devoting your life and your career to it? So give us your origin story.
It's been a long time. So it's 25 years now and counting. And, you know, it's interesting because, you know, when people say, I always used to think it was so cliche when people said things like, oh, the work picked me. It's like, really, lady? But really, that actually is what happened. I was, you know, like every teenage girl, not really clear about what I was going to do with the rest of my life, you know, like having to decide what am I going to study. I knew that I wanted to go to university. I didn't really know what I wanted to study. And in the end, I was just really asking myself questions like, you know, what interests me? What can I see myself having a conversation about for the next 20 years? You know, like that was literally the question that I asked myself when I was trying to decide what to do with my whole life. And I liked the idea of like, I almost became an interior designer. You know, I think I could have done that well, but I decided that I was more interested in learning about health. I was more interested in learning about nutrition.
Now, since we're on the topic of fertility, I have to just give a quick shout out to Element because I relied on these Element drink packets when I was pregnant and postpartum. And of course, I'm still taking it daily today just to support not having so much fatigue, not having muscle cramping as I'm working out, and just being able to feel a little more energized in my body day to day, especially since I'm not sleeping very well. However, especially in pregnancy and postpartum, when we feel like that thirst really increases, we don't just need water, we need electrolytes. Electrolytes support a developing baby's growth and fluid levels in the surrounding amniotic fluid. And just as a pregnant or nursing woman needs to increase their nutritional intake, she also needs enough sodium, potassium, and magnesium to support both herself and her growing child. And it's kind of cool to know that sodium is a key component of breast milk, and electrolytes can actually increase that milk supply postpartum. So it is crucial that nursing and pregnant women may even want to increase their sodium intake by a gram or two to replace what's going on to the child. Now, if you have not tried Element yet, I would highly recommend go to drinkelement.com/optimal. That's drinkelement, LMNT.com/optimal. And with every purchase, you get a free sample pack. They are my favorite flavors. So many people talk about the lemonade and the raspberry salt, but also that chocolate salt to really like satisfy that sweet craving is everything you need. So if you have not yet checked out Element, go to drinkelement.com/optimal. Now we'll get back into the episode.
And that was the first thing that I actually, because I, you know, I really didn't know. And so I was like, you know what? Yeah. What is the thread that is kind of interest, and let me follow that and see where it leads me. And so I started studying nutrition, and I realized very quickly, like literally 2 or 3 months in, that it's like, this is limited. There's only so much that I can do with telling people how to eat because they're not going to listen anyway, right? And so I think you guys know very well how that goes. But and so basically I was like, okay, that's a little bit limited. I think I need to add some more tools. And the place where I was studying also had a naturopathic medicine degree. And so I thought, okay, that's more, it's broader. There are more components. There are more tools. And so I decided to switch my degree from nutrition to naturopathy. And I did that. And then I obviously finished my 4 years and realized, okay, what is, again, the conversation that I want to be having for the next 20 years? And I don't know why I picked 20 years. I think that at the time I picked 20 years because it just seemed like, oh my God, that is forever away. These days, I think 20 years, oh my God, that's just around the corner. You know? So it was, it really, it, my perspective has certainly shifted. I think that it happens when you get older. But the really interesting thing was that I started working. I was working for an obstetrician gynecologist running his practice while I was studying. And one day I came into the clinic and I was all very excited. And I said to him, you know, I think I'm going to specialize in pediatrics. He goes, Gabriella, that is the worst idea you've ever had. I'm like, whoa. He was the most lovely. He still is. He's just so kind-hearted, a most beautiful man. And you know, we still are connected to this day. And he said that to me and I paid attention because he was always so positive, you know, and I was like, yeah. What is happening? And he goes, listen, I was thinking of doing pediatrics before I did gynecology, but the thing about it is this, your patient is not your patient and your patient can't speak. I'm like, whoa, so true. And, you know, if you think about it, when a baby is not well, I mean, parents get very anxious and, you know, they're trying to decipher what's going on. So I immediately took his advice and thought, okay, that's not going to be it. But now I need to go back to the drawing board. And so I was walking up some stairs going to do my clinic hours, and I saw natural fertility, clinic hours. I'm like, yeah, fertility, that's what I'm going to do. And that was literally how it happened. And then, of course, I started and I started practicing from his clinic, and very quickly got an offer to go into a medical center and started to do that and started to focus solely on fertility. For the first, I would say, 10 years, I was really talking and treating people who had, wanted to prepare to be healthier, to have a baby, and maybe had been trying for a year. You know, it was kind of like that very early stage situation. And I did that for a long time. And then I started getting referrals. And one of the people 10 years on that comes to me was referred by someone who I knew. And she literally said to me, "All right, I'm about to give up. I've been trying for 10 years and I've done multiple failed IVF cycles, and I want you to treat me before my next IVF cycle." I'm like, thinking to myself, no, like, I don't think that's going to be enough. I mean, obviously you've done all these things. And we had this conversation and she goes, no, but I really want you to treat me because I'm going to give up anyway. And so, this is it. Like, I'm not going to keep trying. I want this to be over. And I just want to be healthier. And when she said that, I was like, oh, I could do that. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. That's fine. So we did. And that was a moment that changed my life that I didn't realize at the time that was going to change my life, because she conceived naturally 3.5 months later after we were working with both her and her husband after 10 years of infertility and multiple failed cycles. And when that happened, I was like, it's a fluke. like nice coincidence, but really doubtful at best. And so I just went on with my life thinking, okay, that's cool for her, great. And of course, she had her baby and everything else. And then somebody walked into my clinic who basically did not want to be there. Her husband was like literally dragging her, by the hair. Yeah. Nice Neanderthal style. No, he was a very nice man. But literally, he was like, "I want us to do this." And for 19 years, I mean, by the time you've been doing anything for 19 years, wow, no wonder you're going to be exhausted, Yeah. So the woman was like, "No, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore." And again, similar thing, done multiple IVF cycles, lots of things that didn't work. But I was emboldened, even if I thought that my coincidence was just a fluke, right? I thought, look, I don't know if this is going to work or not, but I know one thing. You have to be committed, both of you. You have to want this. If you don't want this, we might as well just end this conversation here. And the other thing is that, there was this lady and she conceived. And so, hey, what do we have to lose? And so she had PCOS. She had lots of different things going on. But I treated them. So she finally agreed that, okay, she was going to give this one last shot. And 5.5 months later, after 19 years of infertility and multiple things that didn't work, she was pregnant naturally as well. So wow. At that point, I'm thinking, okay, this is another interesting coincidence, but maybe, just maybe, there is something to this. Sauce. And for me, what it was that there was no pressure from these people. They were not the normal anxious, impatient, have to get pregnant by tomorrow. And that to me, and for 10 years, I was dealing with that, it's annoying. I'll be honest. It's just like, if you see that on a daily basis, people just like, they're not ready to do the work because they're like, oh no, I'm running out of time. Lady, you're running out of time to waste not knowing what's not happening, what's not working, and why you continue to not be pregnant. That's what you're running out of time for. You're not running out of time to do the work. So anyway, long story. But and so then because of that, I went, these people are, they don't care. They're ready to do the work because they just want to look back when they're 90, sitting on their porch, on their rocking chair, looking back at this period in their life and know that they've given it their absolute all. And if it didn't happen, it wasn't because of them. And those are my people.
Yeah.
And so that's how it happened. That's my summary, my nutshell of 25 years, how I got to be here.
I mean, I think that's an incredible journey because it did follow such a natural process of not putting pressure on it, not forcing it, not trying to make something happen, but literally just being so genuine in your approach to how you worked with people and the result that came after it. That's incredible. You know,
yeah. And what's been more fascinating to me. So after the second lady, I decided, you know what? I'm going to change all of my messaging everywhere, that I only treat people who have been trying for 2 years or more and who have experienced failed treatments, miscarriages, and all of those things. At that point, it was literally just because I had decided that, you know what? Who I'm going to be now is the person who helps these people have closure. It wasn't because I wanted to help them have a baby. Like, yes, the baby, yes. But I thought, you know what? Imagine this. Imagine if your life's dream is to have a baby and you can't. How do you want to live the rest of your life from that? Do you want to live the rest of your life in regret, in grief, in trauma? And I thought, you know what? I have so many tools and skills that can help these people transmute these feelings into a better way of life and into finding meaning and purpose in not being a parent. And that actually was where I wanted to go. It was literally, that was my entire thinking process. It completely didn't turn out that way. Because as much as I thought that this was a fluke, actually it wasn't. It worked. And it was like, yeah. Oh, okay. And so then, you know, of course, many, many years after, you know, this happened, I actually had a meeting with an IVF doctor and he was asking me, you know, about the results that we were getting, the treatments that we were doing, the things that we were, you know, implementing and how it was working. And I told him and he literally, I'll never forget that meeting. It was literally here in my office. And he turns around to me after I answer all his questions and he goes, you know, you really shouldn't oversell this. I was like, I beg your pardon. Like, this has literally been the last 15 years of my life, you know, and you're telling me that I shouldn't oversell this. Like, I really don't understand, other than the fact that you're either trying to, whatever, diminish me or whatever right. It is that you're trying to do. But it was really interesting because that moment was the moment that I went, you know what? I need to understand what it is that we're doing and how and what's working. And so I went, I'm going to go to Harvard. I'm going to go do a master's to figure out how to become a scientist so that I can understand what it is that we're doing. And so that became my kind of driving force to be able to really go, all right, how do I even validate what it is that we're doing? How do I study this in a way that it actually helps me to be able to really carry the understanding of the work that we're doing in such a way that actually benefits other people. So I went and did my master's in public health at Harvard and my thesis for that became my program. And so we analyzed, you know, 544 patients and looked at a 7-year period of people who had been through the clinic. And we came out of that with a 78.8% live birth rate. 47.7% of the people who had come to me conceived naturally. The remainder needed IVF. But what was interesting is that before coming to me, more than 50% had experienced failed IVF cycles and more than 50% had experienced recurrent miscarriage. And that rate dropped to 13.5%, you know, for the miscarriage. And at that point, I was like, okay, so this is not a fluke. And let's now really consolidate, you know, essentially what it is that we're doing. So that's been the work for the last 10 years is really like putting it in such a way that the framework, the fertile method really stands on its own and that it can be delivered without me. You know, my kind of next vision of this, and this is why I went and did my Doctor of Public Health at Harvard, because I wanted to figure out, okay, well, how do we impact populations now? You know, how do we impact many, many more people than we have been able to up until now? And so that's the next mountain.
I think that's incredible because fertility treatment is a privilege, right? To even to be able to have those conversations, to be able to get the support and the help. It's not widely available and people don't have the information. And so now at this point, I know people are like, okay, but what are you doing? What is it that is different?
What's the secret sauce?
Right. So why is what you are doing so different than what's currently available?
You know, it's really interesting because it's very simple. And, you know, simple is difficult because what ends up happening is that you think that there's a whole bunch of things that really make a difference. And I always say that, you know, sure, there could be 1,000 things that make a difference to fertility. And most people who come to me are doing 879 of them, but not the 3 that actually move the needle, right? And every system is designed to deliver the result that it delivers. Okay. And the healthcare system is designed in such a way that it is meant to do the absolute minimum for the most number of people. Okay. Yep. And that makes sense because in the general population, 96.3% of people will conceive without trying within 2 years. You see? Yep. And so, literally, it's the vast majority of people. So when it comes to infertility, miscarriage, failed treatments, it's a 4% of the population that actually struggles with that. And so we don't want to over apply resources to the general population because at the end of the day, it's going to be a waste, right? And there are other priorities within the healthcare system that are more urgent and pressing. i.e. cardiovascular disease, diabetes, you know, the non-communicable diseases these days is obviously what's taking, you know, precedence over everything. But what happens is that then couples who are struggling with infertility, miscarriage, failed treatments get the population level treatment and pathway. And that is never going to work for the people who don't conceive without trying. You see, and so there isn't a differentiation at this stage. And hopefully, you know, my Nobel Prize is coming. Hopefully there will be a very different way that we can screen populations and figure out, okay, who are the people who actually are not served by this mass general approach, you know, and what is it that they need differently? And what's the minimum effective dose of that? Because this is the other thing too. We don't want to over resource in even the people who are actually trying to conceive, who are having difficulty, but we need to make sure that we have a foundation of enough. And the biggest problem that I see with IVF as a standard therapy and, you know, standard therapy, it's the go-to. Like if you think about it, these days, any fertility problem that you have, whether it's inability to conceive, inability to keep a pregnancy to term, male factor fertility, recurrent miscarriage, you name it, right? The quote-unquote solution that is brought up is IVF. Now, IVF was designed to bypass tubal infertility. It was about blocked fallopian tubes or no tubes. How do we get the egg and the sperm to meet? And it has become a whole lot more than that and not very effectively because over 90% of IVF cycles started fail to deliver a live birth.
Yeah.
Imagine that. What other therapy out there? I mean, perhaps cancer therapies, you know, have a similar kind of strike rate. But when we're talking about infertility and we're talking about, you know, providing a solution that can actually benefit most people, IVF is certainly not that. I mean, who can afford $30,000? You know, in the US, it's between $15,000 to $30,000 for an IVF cycle, right? And you need an average of 8 to have a close to 80% live birth rate. Who can afford that? Like,
crazy.
Really? It's a house, you know? Yeah. And so it becomes a situation where it's what you said, Jen, you know, the most privileged people are able to access it, nobody else. And most people also, because it is a very burdensome therapy, it's not an easy thing that you just go, oh, okay, here we go. I'm going to show up today and I'm going to be implanted with my baby. It would be nice, but no. You go through hell first for, you know, your 30 days and go to surgery to get eggs retrieved, then you have to see, well, are they mature and did they fertilize and do we have embryos? And now that we have embryos, are we in a state where we can actually transfer those embryos back? And do we get a positive pregnancy test? At every one of those stages, you can end up with nothing. Right. It's not a given that you're going to go into IVF and that you're going to end up with a baby. In fact, it's very much the opposite of that. And so what I look at is, okay, let's take several steps back, right? Because the outcome that we have, inability to conceive, inability to keep a healthy pregnancy to term, these are end results of multiple biochemical chain reactions that start all the way upstream. Right. And so really, if we want to understand how do we change what's happening here right now, we need to understand what's happening in that individual system and what's happening in that system as a couple. Mm-hmm. Right. And this is why I always say fertility is a team sport, because you can be treating the woman till the cows come home and have male factor infertility or undiagnosed male factors like DNA fragmentation. DNA fragmentation increases the risk of miscarriage by 50%. And most clinics don't test it. Most countries don't even have it as part of the standard workup that couples actually get when they're trying to conceive. So, you know, there's so many issues. And the way that I see it is, you need to understand the problem first. If you don't know the problem that you are treating, guess what? You're not going to be very effective, right? Mm. And so diagnosis comes first for us. And what we want to do is we want to benchmark biological systems against optimal ranges as opposed to, oh, let's just take the average. You know, like a great example of this is thyroid. Thyroid, TSH. How many times have I seen a woman who has inability to keep a healthy pregnancy to term and who or may have irregular cycles or, you know, any of those factors and has a TSH of 4 or 5 or 6. And I'm like, and the doctor basically literally turns around and says, oh, it's normal. It's like, okay, the research actually says 2.5 and above when somebody's having difficulty conceiving is not considered normal. But that guideline, it flails in and out of the healthcare system because it's like, well, are we over-testing? Are we over-treating? Hey, listen, look at the history. Do we have a miscarriage? Full stop. You know, do we have inability to conceive? Why are we still having this conversation? You know, but most of the time people are not even checked. And, you know, TSH thyroid is one of those things that affects male fertility just as much as it affects female fertility. Men never get tested. Like I can count, you know, on two hands how many times I have seen and I have assessed a case, and I assess thousands of cases per year, that I have assessed a case where a man has a full complete workup. Like literally in my hands, right? And that happens if the couple is highly focused on health and have literally paid out of pocket for practically everything that they have had tested. So otherwise, forget it. It just doesn't happen. And so in answer to your question, this was a very long answer, but in answer to your question, it's really about figuring out what is the problem that we are dealing with? Because when was the last time you fixed the problem you didn't know you had?
I think that's fascinating. And a few things that you brought up, you know, it's things that I probably could assume, but when you talk about IVF and how 10% only are successful and you need eight treatments to have an 80% chance of having a successful cycle. That's crazy to me, because when people, I'm going to step back, and there are some similarities in our origin stories, similarities in that, you know, we deal with people in pain and you're dealing with people who have infertility. And we early in our career dealt with people who had the pain for 10, 20 years, have seen 30, 40 professionals and have never found an issue. And we did some non-sexy, very simple things with them that physiologically changed them so that they could perceive things differently in their body. And they're like, that was miraculous. My pain suddenly dropped down. I'm like, yeah, because nobody's ever done this with you. Nobody's ever looked at you, heard your story. And so I think pain, of course, they're very different things, infertility and pain, but they have kind of that similar trajectory.
They actually aren't. They're very similar things.
Where the non-sexy stuff that is not focused on in our general medical system that captures the majority is the stuff that is going to move the needle for these people. And when you were talking about that, I'm like, wow, this is really reminding me of a lot of the early people that I treated that I thought, oh, I just got lucky. All I did was have them breathe and lay on their back. And I talked sweet nothings into their ear and they suddenly felt better.
Jen, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, I know. And I'm like, that has to be a one-off. And it continued to happen. And we realized, oh, this is a gap in the system. And you have found that for infertility. And I need to give massive props. Like what you have done the last 20 years, it's badass. Like you are now on the ground pushing the research to help it become mainstream, to help it get to the public health level. And that's what we need for both infertility and for pain, because that type of research is missing, where there's no, people aren't going to be able to dismiss it anymore. People aren't going to be able to dismiss that you did this research that had an 80% almost live birth rate. Like you have the research now, so don't dismiss my it is legit, you know?
It was totally out of anger. It was like, I'm going to show you.
Absolutely. So once you have this diagnosis, what are these non-sexy things that help move the needle?
Yeah. You know, it's funny because I have a very simple thing that I say to people, which is act pregnant now to get pregnant later. You know, when it comes to wanting to have the breeding ground, so to speak, you know, no pun intended, but when you're wanting to have things actually be foundational in place to optimize the chances to conceive. If I was to say to you, Dom, hey, tell me, if Jen was pregnant right now, what are all of the things that you would recommend to her, strong recommendations that you would recommend that she starts doing or stop doing right now?
I mean, lots of sleep, good sleep practices, drink lots of water, make sure you eat all of the tasty foods that I prepare. Don't fall into the temptation to order In-N-Out, even if I recommend it. Even if I recommend it, please say no. And all the other things. Stop smoking. Stop being around. I mean, you don't smoke, obviously. Yeah. But all the things that you know you shouldn't be doing when you're pregnant.
But you see, this is the thing, right? And this is where I want to point out is that different people are different, you know, and different people will have different exposures. And so what happens is that you will have the people, and sometimes they come to me, I don't know why or how, but they do. They've been eating McDonald's 7 days a week and they recognize that, okay, I need to change something. And, you know, and then they of course realize that that is an area that I need to improve. Then I have people who are very like you who are already doing all of the things. They eat organic. They make sure they protect their environment. They, you know, are doing all of the things that you're supposed to, eating well, sleeping well, you know, doing all of the things that you're meant to be doing and are also struggling. But all of those people have something in common, which is you cannot compare. And I think this is a very big takeaway when it comes to fertility. You can't compare yourself to others when you're trying to get pregnant. You can only compare yourself to yourself. You are the N of one, right? You are the benchmark. So it's about figuring out, okay, I'm here. What is it that is going to take for me to be the even better version of myself, right? And start to go from where you are to where you want to be. Because for some people, that list, acting pregnant now to get pregnant later, includes stop smoking, stop drinking, stop getting to, you know, like exposures that, you know, in your day to day that are going to be toxic. Stop using perfume. Stop, like, you know, you name it. And it will also be start eating fresh foods, start eating enough protein, start sleeping enough, start exercising, you know, you name it, and it mm-hmm. will be different. And that in that difference lies the opportunity. And what happens is, because a lot of times people come to me and they say, yeah, but you know, heroin addicts get pregnant and they have babies and they're not doing any of these things. Or the favorite of most people. Yeah, but you know, my brother, he drinks, eats, smokes, whatever. And you know, he's got 10 children. I'm like, great. And it's not happening for you. Therefore, this conversation is a moot point, because if it was happening for you and if it was going to happen for you with whatever it is that you're doing in your life right now, it would have already. So wake up, smell the roses, and let's get to work, because it's not enough. The status quo isn't going to get you where you want to be. It is only going to get you to where you are right now. So yeah. Each person, and you know, it might sound, you know, the thing about it is that I don't mean to seem flippant about this. It's just that people need to wake up to the fact that if you don't have the outcome that you're looking for, excusing yourself is not going to get you there. You need clarity. Yeah. You need to understand what are the issues that are getting in the way. What are the things that you need to implement? What are the things that are actually going to make a difference when you apply to both prospective partners? Because this is the thing too. I asked you, Dom, you know, what is it that you would do if, what is it that you would say to Jen if she was pregnant right now? But Jen, what is it that you would say to Dom if he was pregnant right now?
Right. I mean, a lot of the same similar things.
Right. And so this is the thing. And I know men have the most difficulty of imagining themselves being pregnant, but just indulge me for a little moment. You know, you have to think about it from this perspective. You are already carrying 50% of the little baby you want to create within yourself right now. Both of you. Right. And so with that said, it's like, okay, what does this mean? If I was nurturing an embryo and a fetus and a baby inside me right now, where would I place my attention? What it is that I would do? How would I do it? And those are the self-care aspects that you have control over. Of course, there will be many things that you have no control over, and we need to then ask and question, but what's going on internally? What's going on with the immune system? What's going on with, you know, different aspects of how the body is responding to this development? Because if a miscarriage has happened, then we need to ask, right, what is getting in the way here? Because the reality of it is that there is something. Most people who have been infertile, quote unquote, infertile for many years, actually don't have a problem getting pregnant. Believe it or not, most of those people, they have had the egg and the sperm meet many times. What they have a problem with is implantation failure. And that often happens repeatedly over a period of time. And by the time you see a miscarriage, I question always, you know, especially when people have been trying for a very long time and they have no blocked fallopian tubes and they have adequate sperm, I always will know that, okay, there's something else here, because if that wasn't the case, we would have never seen a positive pregnancy test to begin with. So then we have to ask, okay, but what is it? And what are all of the, you know, there are 9 category reasons for, and in fact, Infertility Breakthrough, the book, which is available free on Spotify and YouTube. I'm sure you guys will link to it. But in here, I talk about the different category reasons of miscarriage. And I can tell you one thing, in the general population, you are only going to even remotely be investigated for miscarriage after you've had 3. Now, listen, by the time people come to me, they're 42, they're 43, they've had the multiple years of infertility, miscarriages. They don't have time for 3 miscarriages. 3 miscarriages will put them at a point of not being able to conceive at all, of running out of time to have a baby entirely. So, of course, I'm going to be proactive. I'm going to be like, okay, you know what? Let's treat as if we've had 3 miscarriages and let's go hunting for what it is that's going on here that we need to change to be able to get the result that we want. Because otherwise, we will just keep doing this going around in circles business for too long.
Right. I love that you brought up like the comparison game, because that is all too real, it, just in general, you know, but especially when someone's trying to conceive or someone's had a miscarriage. Well, why did I have a miscarriage? And this person is able to, you know, there's so much comparison, and it's hard not to have those mental games with yourself when you're going through fertility. especially when you're struggling with infertility or recurrent miscarriages. So I love that you brought that up. You also brought up, you know, women being in their 40s and trying to conceive. So how are we treating women differently from 20s who are having difficulty conceiving versus in their 40s? Or is it basically we're still introducing them the same way because now we're potentially introducing perimenopause in different stages of life compared to 20. So are they getting treated differently? Do we need to really pay attention to that?
You know, it's fascinating and that's a great question. And they both get treated the same, believe it or not. And the same means they're both disregarded and ignored in the same way. The women who are older, it's because they're too old. The women who are young, it's because they have time. So they get dismissed. So the healthcare system literally goes, you know what? You're too old. I'm not going to bother with you. I'm not going to do tests. I'm not going to do any of these things. Oh, you know what? You're too young. I'm not going to bother with you because, you know, you're going to conceive anyway in the next 2 years.
Yeah.
So they're both dismissed, you know, unfortunately. And so what ends up happening is that we have this situation where we're not getting what it is that we need in any of those situations. So that's the big thing that I think people need to understand when they are struggling, when they are trying, when they are going through these challenges, is that if you're getting dismissed, next. That's the only thing to say. Because if you spend too much time there, you're wasting your fertility potential, right? Yeah. So if your doctor is not listening to you, is not actually helping you, I honestly don't spend another moment in this conversation. Just go next and keep looking until you get somebody who is actually going to listen to you and who's going to help you get what it is that you need to get done.
Until you find Gabriella. And if they come to you, if they come to you and we have those two different situations, 20 versus in their early 40s, is your process the same or do you kind of treat those people like different cases?
No, they're treated exactly the same, i.e. let's investigate fully.
Yeah.
Because you see, at peak fertility in your 20s, we should not be having this conversation.
Yeah.
And in your 40s, we have no time to waste but to have this conversation. Yeah. You know, so it's like there's something wrong. If you're 20-something and you have, listen, in the average population, it takes an average of 3 conception attempts. It's have sex, get pregnant, have a baby, done. We're no longer having this conversation. When we're still having this conversation, what happens is that there is something that is getting in the way, something that is wrong that we need to address, right? Yeah. And if we don't address it, we are going to continue going around in circles.
Now, when it comes to some of the biggest myths or misconceptions that you see, especially in social media, can you just break down some maybe one big, huge misconception or misunderstanding that people have, or a few that you might see going around of what people are needing to do or they have to do if they're, you know, dealing with infertility, that's just not quite true.
You know, that is such a great question. And it's something that like makes my blood boil because there are so many of these huge misconceptions. And one of the ones that I have been dispelling a lot in the last 15 years is that fertility starts with the egg. There is nothing further from the truth. Okay. The reality of the matter is that the egg is a biological output. Okay. So it's an outcome, just like the sperm. The sperm and the egg have a 50-50 responsibility to creating a healthy baby. And then, of course, we have an entire biological system that is responsible for ensuring that that egg and that sperm continue to develop. So to minimize and to simplify to fertility starts with the egg leaves an entire side of the equation to chance, first of all. The other aspect that I often see is that people waste a lot of time, effort, energy, and money doing things that are completely useless. You know, you go and you buy some supplement from the supermarket shelf and from with a pharmacy or whatever. It's the wrong nutrient form. It's the wrong dose. It's the wrong, like, everything is wrong about it. Or they saw the influencer promoting that supplement brand that they've developed and the company that they own that isn't actually the most effective, but it's the thing that's recommended because. And people love simple solutions to complex problems. Wake up, people. Right?
Yeah.
It doesn't exist. If something feels and seems too good to be true, it probably is, right? Now, in terms of this whole idea of like, you know, taking a supplement and expecting that that's going to fix all of your problems, it's a fallacy at best, but people do it and or they go and they apply, you know, they put together the healthy diet and they start exercising and they start doing, you know, the sleep and all of these things. And a week later, they're like, yeah, but I'm still not pregnant. It's like, yeah. Really? Oh, wow. I thought you would be. Yeah. Not, right? It's like, listen, the egg takes 12 months to mature. The egg you are ovulating today develops in two major stages, from primordial follicle. Women are born with all the eggs we'll ever have. From primordial follicle to primary follicle, it takes about 6 months. From primary follicle to ovulatory follicle takes another close to 6 months. The last 4 months is where it's most susceptible to change and to damage. So of course, the things that you do are going to have some beneficial effect or some detrimental effect, but it's not going to happen overnight. Sperm takes 90 days at a minimum to mature and actually be ejaculated. And so what happens is that you can be doing anything. There's only a start point to start doing. There is the only end point is literally when you die. But really, if we kind of like break this down, it's like when you're holding a baby, you know, and then of course, most parents will tell you they want to do the things that are going to keep them around to be able to raise their children.
Yeah.
Hence, there is no stop point. You know, the only stop point is when you stop breathing. And, you know, until then, you've got to continue the consistent implementation of things that are going to maintain a healthy biological system. Otherwise, you are going to give yourself away to entropy. You know, chaos is the norm when it comes to a biological system. Unless you are working towards syntropy and optimization, you are going to deteriorate at a faster rate than what your body actually needs to, from a biological standpoint. And that applies to fertility in the same way. And that's not to say that, oh, because I've been healthy my whole life, I'm going to be more fertile. No, that is also not true, right? Because what's going to happen is that we all have heard of people that have never smoked a day in their life and died of lung cancer. And we've all heard of people who are chain smokers who never developed lung cancer. Same exposure, different biological expectation in terms of how the body responds, right? And so a similar exposure can affect people in very different ways. So we have to be attuned to the fact that that is what we're dealing with. Those are the biological truths that we are dealing with. There is no bypassing or shortcutting what needs to be done. The work is the work. And the work is the work for you. And for another person, it might be different.
No, and I mean, when we're talking about the healthy habits that you're doing to conceive the child, continue those healthy habits so that you can build on that generational health and setting the example for the person that is to come after you, male or female. If they hope to have a child someday, they're going to see their parents doing these things their whole life. And so that's huge. And I continue to see these similar threads in the person who has pain and the person who has infertility. How often we have people who come to do one of our programs and they message us a week or 10 days later and they're like, I haven't seen any change yet.
It's not working. It's like,
and I'm like, you've had pain for 10, 20 years. You know, a week of changing a habit isn't going to do it. Yeah. You know, it's like, or the supplement example, it's like pissing in the wind. You know, you always hear you can't out-supplement a bad diet or you can't out-supplement a bad lifestyle. You know, so you got to bring that wind down. You got to bring that noise down in general, even if the supplement is perfect. It might not do anything for
you.
Absolutely.
100%. Yeah.
Well, and I know that you also have a free challenge that people can join to start implementing some of the things that they might be neglecting or adding in some of the practices that you recommend. So can you talk about where people can find this, where people can learn more about you, where people can get your book? Obviously, we're going to have everything linked up in show notes, but I just want people to hear it from you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So I do a lot of patient education on Instagram. So it's Gabriella Rosa Fertility, and it's Gabriella with one L. So GABRIELARROSA, and then the word fertility. And the fertility challenge is something that I have been doing for the last 15 years. It's a public health intervention, as far as I'm concerned. You know, we've now taken over 205,000 people in more than 111 countries through it. And wow. It has been a really wonderful way of being able to, as you started in the podcast talking about, Jen, the fact that lots of people do not have access. They don't have the privilege of access to healthcare and quality health information. And I really wanted to bring that to people all over the world. You know, and so as a result, we have people everywhere in countries where healthcare isn't even a thing, you know, and they're able to then learn and improve, you know, their day to day as best as they can from what it is that they, because we all can be making adjustments, you know, even in the, yeah. In the simplest settings, there are ways in which we can be optimizing and improving what it is that we're doing. And so that's the purpose of the Fertility Challenge, is to bring evidence-based, really strong, robust care that I would be recommending to my patients from a self-care perspective, right? That is based on science and that is shown to work. So that's the Fertility Challenge. People can just go Gabriella Rosa Fertility Challenge. They will find it. It's everywhere. And of course, the book is, as I said before, is available free on Spotify and YouTube. Again, for the same reason, you know, it's chock full with great information about diet, exercise, mental, emotional exercises that people can do. You know, there's lots of things in there that are very beneficial.
And so now here's the action part for the audience. If you're listening and anything you heard resonated with you, or if you know of anybody in your life that has really been struggling in this journey, I can't imagine how incredible these resources is based on everything that we've packed into this short podcast. Getting into a 14-day challenge or going and listening to or reading your book. We'll have all of that linked up. I can't imagine the crash course people get in how to start making these lifestyle changes. And Gabriella, future Dr. Gabriella, I'm not even going to act like I'm going to jinx it, because I know that you have a thesis to defend.
Done.
Yeah, I know you have a thesis to defend coming up, and I have no doubt that you're going to do an amazing job at that. Thank you for being a great kind of lighthouse of information in this, dark space that is social media, where it's so hard to find good information. We really appreciate you coming on.
And thank you. You know, thank you for having me, and thank you for doing the work that you guys do, and really, again, enlightening people, you know, as to things that they can do and how they can improve their health overall. So thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for sticking around for another interview. That was an absolute wealth of information, and she has so much more that you can dive into, whether it's her fertility challenge or her book. Please feel free, like I said, to pass this on to somebody who you know who might be in this stage. It can be so isolating and make you feel so alone. So be somebody's ally and pass this information along. Of course, we are having our Just Press Play challenge for the month of February. It is our goal to get people onto the free trial for Gen Health and Just Press Play. Start that first video to feel something different in your body. As a podcast listener, you can go down to the link in the show notes. It's just gen.health/free trial. Start your free trial and make sure you use code OPTIMAL to get an extra discount, whether you start the monthly or the annual subscription. And of course, we will see you next time on the Optimal Body Podcast.